And joining me right now here on the phone line, as he does every Thursday, to talk a little sports, and you know, we got much to discuss. It's Mr. 321 himself. It's Mr. Tim Walters of the Florida Today. Cue his music.
There's no I in team, but there is in Tim.
How's bowling going on Monday then?
Not very good.
I talk about it on my podcast. On my podcast. Podcast. I love it when a plan comes together.
Tim Walters, Florida Today. How you doing today, buddy?
Couldn't be doing better, Mark. It's beautiful outside. It's crisp and cool, but not as cool as you, but I'm doing great.
I appreciate the kind words. I really do. The check's in the mail, or if it's 2023, I'll Apple Pay you, whatever you need to do. Let's go. Let's go to Friday night. High school football. We got one team still alive. They're going up to Tallahassee for a state championship, trying to make it two in a row. It's the Coco Tigers. Tell us the latest on this story, buddy.
Oh, yeah. We're super excited about this, Mark. Coco looking to take home their sixth title, as you said. They are playing Bradford, which is a team out of roughly the Stark area. For those who aren't familiar, it's kind of between Gainesville and Jacksonville. Both of our newspapers in the USA Today Network actually cover Bradford, Jacksonville, and the Gainesville Sun. So we're going to have a whole bunch of people there covering this game. We'll have Brian McCallum from Florida Today. We're going to have the high school reporter from the Gainesville Sun. We're going to have a photographer from the Tallahassee Democrat, because this is up at Bragg Stadium on the campus of Florida A&M. So during the game, you know, if you can't watch it, if you can't be home, if you're on your phone, you got to go to FloridaToday.com. We'll have a live blog. Last week for their semifinal game, it was a massive blowout, but our blog had thousands and thousands of page views. So we expect that a lot of people are going to be super interested in this one, Mark. But again, looking forward to Coco taking out Bradford. Bradford is 14-0. They've got a solid defense. Their offense is good, not great, but I do expect the Tigers to take home their sixth state title tomorrow night.
That is really cool. How long have you been working for the Florida Today newspaper now?
In October, I just surpassed my 21st year at Florida Today. And one of the cool things I got to do in 2008, 9, and 10 was go over to Orlando and cover those three in a row state championships for the Coco Tigers.
All right. That's a great answer, because my follow-up question then is, does this team have a chance to be one of the best teams ever here in Brevard County football?
Mark, it is like you're throwing up meatball softball questions at me, because Brian McCallum, on the front page of today's paper and at FloridaToday.com, has a story looking at the best high school football teams ever from Brevard County. And then he also does the best football team ever by school. So what year, you know, if you're interested in Holy Trinity or MCC or Astronaut, yeah, he breaks them all down. But this team, Mark, if they win, you know, they would be up there on the Pantheon. Ryan Schneider, the coach, says, look, they can't be the best unless they win the state title. You know, when they asked the former Coco Tiger coach, John Wilkinson, who he thought was the best ever, he went with the 2009 championship team only because that was the only one that was unblemished, finished that season either 14-0 or 15-0. You know, this year's Tigers, they have one loss. It was an unfair loss. It was a garbage loss. It was, you know, what otherwise looks like a cheating loss by some home cooking down at St. Thomas Aquinas. But that was an unfortunate thing. But this Tigers team, yes, I believe when you look at just pure skill, could be the best one ever.
You think about this past fall, where we talk about all the different teams who were playing, and we all had some great teams here in this area. It was kind of boring after a while, trying to break down Coco. It's like they're one of those Nick Saban Alabama teams from the last 10 years, where they're just, oh, they killed this team, and they crushed them. I mean, it wasn't even close in any of these playoff games. Do you feel that way, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, look, they're so good, and they have what's considered the toughest schedule in the state. Their schedule ranked out as the toughest because they played like Venice, which is a top-ranked team, and beat them. They played, you know, Sanford Seminole, which was a highly ranked team. So it's just incredible the teams that they've gone through, and then in the playoffs. And I can't remember the number exactly off the top of my head, but I think they've won their four playoff games by about 125-28 or something like that. So it's just insane both offensively and defensively. And, you know, yesterday we had a nice story out looking at the slant play that Brady Hart uses to Javon Boggs, and it is unstoppable. They scored 3 touchdowns last week in the state semifinal just using that play. So it is, it's just something to behold.
You brought up those Coco teams from, you know, around 09, 10. What made them so special when that was earlier in your career?
Well, you know, back then, they were more of a running game-oriented thing. So, you know, they had this kid named Chevelle Bowie on that team who he looked like, you know, a 454 Chevelle. I mean, that kid was as fast and as incredible as you can get. And they had a really good quarterback. They had a kid that played on defense named David Rowe who went and played 4 years at Rutgers. So, I mean, they had some really good pieces to that team back then. But they didn't throw it the way they're throwing it now. I mean, when you look at Brady Hart's numbers, it's among the best you're going to find. You know, 3,000 yards, or might even be closer to 4,000 yards. He has something crazy like, you know, 50 touchdowns, and 25 of them are to Javon Boggs. So, you know, all the exact stats are up on our website, actually, in that story today. But just it's like video game numbers that these guys put up. You know, I would like to see them against some small-town college football teams because they might be able to take them as well.
So what's your coverage going to be like for Friday night, buddy, which is coming up tomorrow night to end the season for high school football?
That is right. As I said, we will have a live blog up that night at floridatoday.com. Or if you want to see what the Bradford people are saying, you could go to the live blog at gainesville.com. But I say stick with Florida Today to read about the Coco side of it. We will have Brian McCallum up there in Tallahassee. You know, Brian's been with us at Florida Today probably 16 or 17 of my 21 years here. So he's been there forever, too, covering all of this alongside us. So he'll be doing a great job. And then, you know, we'll have a photo gallery online afterward. We'll have a story up. Again, you can follow along with the blog. So everything you're going to want to know about the Coco Tigers, you can get at floridatoday.com.
Okay, I'm going to sound like a jerk. Play these games in Orlando or Tampa. Look, I know this is my backyard, but, like, essentially, if you're a team in Miami or Fort Lauderdale and then you got to drive to Tallahassee, centralize everyone, Tim. Do I have to think of everything?
Oh, Mark, this is hilarious. And actually, this is discussed on my podcast this week, the State of Florida Sports Podcast, powered by the USA Today Network. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. But I have John Santucci, who is our state recruiting reporter, on, and he was telling us about one of the metro divisions where two of the teams are within 10 miles of each other in South Florida, and they're going to have to each travel 8.5 hours up to Tallahassee to play each other. He said, I want them to defy the FHSA and just play it there near Fort Lauderdale. Hey, you want a little defiance, Mark, with your high school football?
You think about how much it costs to have teams and equipment and coaches, and like this is expensive now to do. You're right. They're 10 miles from each other, and you want them to drive. I mean, I don't know. Do I have to think of everything? Look, I'm running for governor. I will fix these problems, okay?
Well, please do, Mark, because let me tell you, my mom has taught me if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. But the FHSAA, just the things that they do are mind-boggling. The decisions, again, I won't say anything that's not nice. Yeah. However, we had big breaking news yesterday because the FHSAA is now scrapping this Metro Suburban Plan, which I thought worked really well. You know, you've got teams winning state titles that haven't in a long time because you've got them split up properly. They're doing away with all of the divisions. They're going to go back to schools by size. So you're going to once again have teams from Brevard that may, you know, like Merritt Island when they got stomped by that Miami Central team.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to start seeing small town teams playing, you know, big city teams again, which stinks. And then they're going to do this like the 32 highest ranked teams, regardless of school size, are going to be put into this like big bracket stew, and then you're going to play for 4 weeks, and then they're going to have like one ultimate best in Florida state title, and then everyone else will play for whatever it is, 1A through 8A again.
What?
Or however they split it up. So I like the Suburban Metro. It's unfortunate that they, after 2 years, are scrapping it, but if you want to read that, that's up at floridatoday.com as well.
I'm just shaking my head. Do you even understand what you just said out loud with the schedule, what it's going to be like?
No, I don't like it. I mean, look, it's just bizarre. So that way, if you have, let's say, an 8A team in Tampa, and you may get Coco, which is a 2A team, and sure, Coco can probably take that Tampa team, but there are others that aren't going to, and why 32? You know, because they want to get there 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it is. I don't know. It sounds like the CFP is running this thing, Mark.
All right.
And it's all being done behind closed doors, handling public institutions and not giving us proper insight. So there's a lot of investigational work, I think, that should be done into the FHSAA so we can find out more about these processes.
Hey, why don't we just have Coco play St. Thomas Aquinas again for the state championship? And we end this nonsense for what happened earlier in the year. Come on, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, hey, as long as their referees aren't handling the clock, I'm all for that.
I know. It's ridiculous. I know both those teams are going to be in Tallahassee. They're playing different opponents for their championships. I don't know. This is going to be fun coming up on Friday night. So, again, from myself and Tim, good luck to the Coco Tigers. Let's go to college football, which you just brought up. Everyone's come on this week and given their opinion. So you're up.
I'm happy to share my opinion. I think that what happened to Florida State, and this is coming from a Florida Gator grad, is one of the biggest screw jobs I've ever seen. And again, behind closed doors, lack of, transparency, just bad excuses. It's just, I don't know, it's mind-boggling. You can't keep an undefeated Power 5 team out of there just because they lost their quarterback. Look, Ohio State went and played for a national title with a third-string quarterback, and they won the whole thing, about 10 years ago? So why can't Florida State? Why is Washington held in such regard because they beat Oregon twice? Who cares? What's Oregon done? What's any Pac-12 team done? Why not put Florida State in instead of Washington? I think it is terrible what they've done. And, I know our Governor Ron DeSantis has talked about wanting to file a lawsuit and put $1 million in the budget so they can sue. Look, that's all, maybe it's performative, maybe it's not. The budget's not passed till next year. So we'd be suing them by next college football season when there's 12 teams? No. Pony up your own money, or some Florida State person should sue the CFP for fraud. I think that it is fraudulent. I think it's awful what they've done. And, I can't believe they've done it. Just the amount of money now that, that's going to Alabama instead of Florida State. There's just so many things that go into it. And, of course, it's ESPN who, truly rules the roost. Because they probably don't think a Florida State and whatever it would be, Michigan or Washington or Texas game, would get them the ratings and the revenue that Alabama would. But you've taken a team who's done a great accomplishment and said, we don't care that you went 14-0. Football doesn't matter. This is what we want.
How do you really feel on this subject? Look, I want you to know this. So we found out Sunday, and my brain is still trying to comprehend what happened. Because my thought process now here on a Thursday is, hey, they wouldn't have started a third-string quarterback in the playoff. Rodemaker would have started the game. He has experience. They have a championship defense. They have all these other weapons. And it's not just one team jumped them. Two teams with one loss jumped them. It's so ridiculous. Did Vince McMahon come up with this plan? That's my question for you.
Like I said, those people are frauds, so I have no time for any of them. They are awful. They're worse than the FHSAA.
Wow. I like earlier, you're like, I'll hold back my opinion. Now this one, you don't. Okay. What do you think of the matchup then against Georgia in the Orange Bowl at the end of the year?
Yeah, that's the ultimate middle finger, because I still think that Georgia is the best team in the nation, and unfortunately, Florida State's got, to me, one of the top five defenses in the country. So, if they can hold Georgia down, because Carson Beck has just been so good of late, then they have a chance to win this, even with backup quarterback. I just think Georgia's got a little bit too much for them. It's a tough matchup for them. One of their top receivers, Johnny Wilson, said he's declaring for the NFL draft, so they lose their 6'7" wide receiver. So, I don't like Florida State's chances, as most people probably don't. So, one other point I'd like to throw in, going back to the CFP. Michigan, they don't have their head coach because they were cheating. They were flying a guy around to steal signs and do these different things. How is it you don't just disqualify them from competition? Because Mark, in 3 years they're going to have to strip the national title if they win it anyhow.
All right, here's my analogy for Monday. It would be like we're in the NFL playoffs, and the Eagles win the NFC Championship game. And they're like, wow, we're going to the Super Bowl. And then the playoff committee shows up. Nah, we need the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. That'd be a better matchup for us. Isn't that what it would be like for college football?
Heck, I like that idea. Let's just pick whoever the heck we want to be in the playoffs. Why not?
And that's what they're going to do. See, here's what's funny. If Alabama wins, then the committee's like, see, we had it right. We're the good guys here. It's so terrible. Okay. Have you gotten a chance, Tim Walters of the Florida Today, to look over all the ridiculous bowl games that are coming up over the next month or so?
I haven't had a full breakdown of them. I know UCF is going to the Gasparilla Bowl with Georgia Tech, obviously, and I know the big bowls, but I have not looked at the litany of bowls yet. In fact, I've got to get those onto my sports budget for the rest of the month so we can make sure they get in the newspaper.
It's the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. You got to get it right. Bad Boy Mowers. I think I do respect the Pop-Tart Bowl the best. And I'm hearing rumblings. There is going to be a Pop-Tart mascot that you can eat after a while. Are you in on this?
Yes, I've actually heard about this and read about this. So it will be a regular Pop-Tart mascot during the game, you know, in like the foam suit running around with the smile on its face. But then when the winning team wins, there will be an edible Pop-Tart mascot of some sort that will come on the field that, I don't know, does the team tackle it and devour it? Will there be a human whose life is in danger inside of that thing? Is it a robot? Mark, what are they going to do at the end of this game where an edible giant Pop-Tart comes out where the team is just going to...
It reminds me, kind of like we were growing up, you know, you're at the bars and, you know, hey, let's share a beer together and you're drinking from the same glass. Is this really sanitary to be eating the same Pop-Tart man on the field? I'm confused. I don't know.
Well... Yeah, do they not realize that, like, a pandemic was just declared over a few months ago, and it's not really over? I mean, you know, people, I don't know. I don't think I'd gnaw on the same Pop-Tart as my sweaty 350-pound teammate.
Okay, here's my other joke. So do you think, like, 40 years from now, it's around Christmas time, and Grandpa's around the fire, and he tells his grandkids, come around, Grandpa's going to tell a story. Grandpa, what's the story? Let me tell you the time when I was in college and me and my teammates beat Arizona State to win the Pop-Tart Bowl. It was the greatest moment of my life. Is that what it's going to be?
Well, no, what'll be even better is when that guy says, and after we won the game, me and Bill and Johnny and Jeff all ate the mascot.
Don't eat me! Don't eat me! What flavor do you like? I'm a strawberry man when it comes to the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, I love the cherry, the traditional cherry one. The strawberry is good. I like them just out of the packet. Some people like to warm them up. I prefer eating them as is. How are you?
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I do that as well. And these are topics that we're not going to be in the Olympics anytime soon. Yes, I do like sometimes where it's just you open it up and start eating it. I've done that as well. I have. I like it either way. Here's my favorite name. The College Football Playoff Semifinal at the Rose Bowl game presented by Prudential. That is one game. That's the title. I love it.
Yeah, it's the Rose Bowl.
No, it's the Rose Bowl game that's presented by Prudential. It's so great. All right, let's end with this here with Tim Walters. So you went to Jacksonville. You drove all the way there on Monday night to see the worst possible outcome ever for the Jaguars. Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, what a long night that was, because when Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, that means our reporters are working even later, which means I'm working even later. You know, actually, it was a really entertaining game. All of a sudden, Jake Browning did look like Joe Burrow if you kind of squinted a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Ja'Marr Chase really is the star of that game. What do you have, 166 receiving yards? Yeah. And nobody could cover him. Jacksonville's got a really good defense. Nobody could stop that guy. He's, you know, a top three receiver in the league, even when his quarterback is stinky. But it was just such a shame. You know, Trevor Lawrence yesterday, he was actually walking without the boot, so that is a huge sign for the Jaguars. He didn't take part in practice. He said that he thought it was actually much worse than it was when it happened. And he explained what happened. You know, early in the game, I think it was the second or third play, that the Jaguars did. They had a long completion to Christian Kirk, and he essentially tore his groin. They're calling it a lower core muscle injury, but the guy tore his groin, which just sounds terrible. So when you lose your number one receiver, they bring in a rookie named Parker Washington, who's very good, scored his first touchdown in the league, did a great job. But what happened on that play, as Trevor explained it, he was waiting for Parker to do a turn in on the route, and it took too long to develop. So he wasn't able to get the ball out of his hand. And with that, his offensive lineman is being pushed at him, and Trevor didn't have time to react, and his leg just got stepped on as his lineman was being pushed in. And then as he fell, you know, not only does he have this giant man standing on his ankle, he's twisting in a bad way, and he essentially thought that he was done. You know, there's been a controversy as to why they didn't put him on a cart. Why did the poor guy have to limp all the way back? And he explained that yesterday and said that, you know, he was right near the tunnel. He just wanted to get out of there. He didn't want to wait for the cart, and he thought that he could try and walk on it. So one of the trainers and actually a Jacksonville police officer were the two that helped him get back to the X-ray room. Yeah, it's a crazy situation. But so anyhow, yesterday he was talking about how the injury could have been much worse. It wasn't. He was out there standing on his own 2 feet. Not sure if he's going to play Sunday against Cleveland. Quite frankly, I think you don't play him. I know he wants to keep his streak alive. He's started all 46 games since the start of his career. And so I know he wants to keep that streak alive. But if I'm him, you take this weekend off against Cleveland. It's going to be cold up there. Your ankle is still hurting, swollen, whatever. And then play the following week on Sunday Night Football against the Baltimore Ravens in a game that's going to mean a lot for the AFC division. But I just, knowing Trevor, if he can be out there just like Pat Mahomes last year after he hurt his ankle and was out there anyhow, he might be out there limping, trying to give it a shot. So that's everything I know on that. And I do have a cool story up, Mark, that I wrote looking at quarterbacks in the NFL and what teams have been able to start their starting quarterback every game this year. And so there's some interesting stuff on that where, you know, through week 12, there's only 18 of 32 teams had their starting quarterback start every game. But you lose one in Kenny Pickett, who had ankle surgery. So now you're going to be down to 17 when games start this weekend. If Trevor doesn't go, you're down to 16. So half of the NFL has lost their starting quarterbacks through week 13. That is a hazardous job there, Mark.
Oh, that's cute. My Bears have lost their quarterback for 100 years now, okay? I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy for anyone. It's like when Florida played Florida State, and both teams had horrible quarterback play. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is a normal game for me. What's the difference? I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's so great. And you know what's the weirdest thing of it all? You know who's been the most consistent quarterback? It's Tua. And he was the biggest question mark, Tim, going into the season. Isn't that weird for all the teams?
It is. I point that out in the article. And the other thing, Mark, that I find interesting about this is when you look at the guys who, for last year, there were only 10 quarterbacks in the NFL who played the entire season. One of them was Geno Smith. I want you to think about that. So Geno started every game last year and this year. Justin Herbert is one of them. Jalen Hurts is one of them. I believe Josh Allen, yeah, he's got the longest streak of any quarterback. And that's it. There's six quarterbacks who started every game last year and every game this year. And if Trevor doesn't, you're down to five. There are a couple of guys on the list this year who have made it through all 12 games that I think are pleasant surprises. Guys like Baker Mayfield, Jordan Love, Russell Wilson. Surprised that Lamar Jackson and Tua haven't gotten hurt. And, oh, the other person I failed to mention that started every game last year and this year, Jared Goff. And that's why the Lions have been so good. So you got to have a quarterback that you can keep upright and alive to be a team that's in it.
Well, we just jinxed them all. So good times for all. His name is Tim Walters, Florida Today. My man, thank you so much for your help and have a great day.
Hey, I love to give you that blowtorch of information, Mark, and I love it when a plan comes together.